The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
I want us all to imagine, and I want us all to imagine if you were blind. And I really want us all to think what our day yesterday would have looked like and what our day this morning would have looked like. Imagine, you know, the inability to be able to walk, you know, by yourself, unaided. The inability to be able to drive. The inability to be able to be basically independent. All right, but at least, thank God, you'd have your other senses. Now, I want everyone to imagine, not only are you blind, but now you're also mute. You're not able to talk to the person next to you. You're not able to communicate because you're also blind. And you're not able to order a coffee. Once again, you've lost your independence. Now, I won't be doom and gloom, but thank God you still have your hearing, okay? You're still able to hear. You're still able to hear the people around you. And now, I want us all to picture this man that we heard about in the gospel today and what he would have heard. He would have heard about Christ. He would have heard about his ministry. He would have heard about his healing. And he would have heard about the love that he was showing to everyone. So just leading up to today's gospel and leading up to Christ's encounter with this man, we'll look at what's happening in the Gospel of Matthew. We see that Jesus is traveling around. He's sending out his disciples to heal people, to spread the word, the good message. He has the Sermon on the Mount. And we see in Matthew chapter 10, he called the disciples and gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And Christ's disciples, as they're walking through and as they're doing their ministry, they have a couple of encounters. They're walking through a grain field and they're hungry. It's the Sabbath. What do? They pluck some of the heads and they eat them. And so the Pharisees come and they say to them, "What are your disciples doing? What are they doing on the Sabbath?" And Christ answers them and says, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him. How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but for only for the priests." And so we see that Christ answers them logically. Yeah, he answers them calmly and he reasons with them. Then later on in chapter 12, again, in Matthew 12, that's where the gospel is from today, they come up to Christ and they bring him a man with a withered hand. And they say, on the Sabbath once again, and they say, "What are you going to do?" And then Christ responds, he says, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath," and he healed him. So once again, we see Christ, he calmly reasons with them with logic, and he answers their questions. So we see this is the climate that's surrounding this blind and this mute man, okay? He can hear that there is this man who is healing. He hears that there is this man who is casting out illness and sickness. And in this climate, he's also hearing other things. He's hearing people murmuring. He's hearing people complaining because he's hearing these Pharisees always contesting and contending with him. But we see that this man and those around him are in need. And so what do? They bring this blind, mute, and demon-possessed man to Christ for healing. And quite simply, it says in the gospel that Christ heals him. It says simply, the man both spoke and saw. And so we really see, just very quickly, that this brings to life something that was said in the Catholicon. It says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." If we think about you, if you were blind and if you were mute, how humbled you would be, that inability to be able to function, and then all these people bringing him to Christ, and he's unable to direct himself to Christ. Not only that, but he's unable to plead to Christ. So definitely this man was humbled, and we see what Christ does with him. And having been healed by Christ, can you imagine the feeling he would have had within him? He'd been restored, he'd been healed, he finally had this independence which he didn't have before. What do you think his first words would have been? Hopefully and simply, I think it would have been, "Thank you." But let's look at the people around him and their reaction. And I think we'll see that their reaction was quite mixed. You have the multitudes, and what do they say? In amazement, they all say, "Could this be the son of David?" What's the significance of that? We know that they were waiting for a Messiah from the lineage of David to deliver them from, you know, the oppression that they were under. And so that was their reaction. And what was the Pharisees' reaction? They said, he cast out demons by Beelzebub. But once again, Christ, he reasons with them. You know, he's very logical in what he says. He says, a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city divided against itself cannot stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And I think that's very true. You know, Christ is speaking logically, and if you look in history, whenever a kingdom falls, usually, you know, I'm probably generalizing, but usually you'll see a pattern. There may be a king, he may have his kingdom, and it may be successful, but eventually he dies. And he may have a few sons, there may be a bit of contention about who should be next, and eventually there is a civil war, and in that disagreement, or in that sort of weakness, another kingdom can come and overtake. And so Christ, he delivers a very logical and very reasonable argument. And then what does he say after that? If it's, that's not the case, if I don't cast out demons by Beelzebub, then if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. And so he logically concludes that the kingdom of God has come upon them, and that God is here, and God is present amongst them, and of course that God is present amongst us here now. Okay, so with this fact that God is present, and this logical conclusion, I want us just, I guess the point of this talk is, let's think how we personally use our tongue. James says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in words, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So we'll just focus on the power and the strength of the tongue in our life, and its ability to build people up, but also its ability to destroy. So going back and looking at the different characters in this situation, in this scenario, we said we had the multitudes, and they're amazed, and they say, could this be the son of David? They're open, they're curious, they're willing to listen. Then we have the Pharisees. What's their reaction? They murmured, they plotted, they questioned, and they tested God. And then we see Christ. What does he do? He reasons, he discusses, he presents his perspective, he stands for the truth. And so the question for all of us is, who will I be like? Another question is actually, what actually directs what proceeds from my tongue, what comes out of my tongue? So later in this chapter, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus answers and says, answers this question and says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the question is, what am I filling myself with? What are the treasures that are stored within me? Am I, you know, surrounding myself with the right people? Am I reading God's word? Am I listening to sermons when I have an opportunity? Or, and I speak to myself, am I consumed by, you know, my issues? Am I consumed by my finances, my family, my career progression, whatever it may be? Like I said before, am I surrounding myself with the wrong people? What am I filling myself with? You know, a simple example is if you're in the radio and you're listening to doof doof music, as they say, or like, you know, loud, aggressive music. I don't know about you, but you have that feeling where, you know, you kind of, any kind of irritability that comes into your life, you're going to lash out or you're going to be angry. And I think that's a very real example of the fact that whatever I fill myself with, that's what's going to proceed out of me. And so I need to ask myself the question, what am I filling myself with? What am I filling myself with? And whatever it is, I need to realize that it will proceed out of me. So, just the last point. Why does it matter what comes out of my tongue? Later in Matthew chapter 12, Christ says, but I say to you, for every idle words men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I'll say it again. It's quite a strong point by Christ. I say to you, for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So Christ is telling us that there is serious accountability for what I say, the words that come out of my mouth, and it can really define who I am as a person. And so the question is, how do I use my tongue? Do I realize the importance of the words that I say? Do I use my tongue to build people up, or do I use my tongue to criticize the person in front of me? At home, how do I use my tongue? Do I realize what Christ says? A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. I guess, how do I use my tongue? Do I use it in the ratio of, you know, I have two ears, one tongue? Do I listen more than I speak? Or am I always on the offensive? Another thing, do I place unfair expectations on those around me? And does that come out in the way I act? If we look at the Acts today, it's all the early church are coming together and they're discussing about the Gentiles. And they're saying, you know, we should put this burden on them, that they should be circumcised, that they should, eat anything offered, with the blood, etc. And then St. Peter uses his tongue for good to create peace. And he says, now therefore, why do you test God? By putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. And so the question is, do I place an unfair expectation on those around me? And do I place a standard on them that even I can't maintain? And from that, does my, you know, criticism come out of my tongue because of that? And do I cause this division? And I guess another part, do I play the role of God with my tongue? Once again, from today's Catholican, it says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And so, me, with my tongue, what kind of person am I? And am I playing the role of God? Am I using it to judge, whether it's my spouse, my friends, my family, or once again, am I using my tongue for good? So, once again, we're saying, who are we out of these characters? Am I, like the multitudes, open, curious, willing to talk to people in a positive way? Or am I like the Pharisees, doubting, questioning? They saw some miracle with the withered hand, and yet they're plotting and they're finding a way or something negative from it. Am I like that with the people that I live with, the people that I deal with? And so, just from the psalm, we'll just focus on this idea of what I can do with my tongue and the good that I can do with my tongue. It says today, but you are my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. And in yesterday's psalm, it was talking about if our mouths are filled with the praise of God, we will become as a wonder to many. So it's saying, you know, with our tongue, if we're praising God, he can be our strong refuge. And with our tongue, if I, it's like laced with honey, it can be a wonder to many when they see the words that come out of me. And so, is my tongue filled with praise? Is it filled with prayer? Is it filled with singing and hymns? Or is it filled with, like I said, all of that criticism? And so, you know, King David, he says that my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And so, how do I use my tongue? And do I give God the opportunity to speak on my tongue? And so, lastly, what can I change? I just want to share a quote from St. Isaac the Syrian. He says, he who senses his sins is greater than he who raises the dead with his prayer. I'll say it again. He who senses his sins is greater than he who raises the dead with his prayer. So for us, if I sit and I am introspective and I reflect and I think about how I use my tongue and the fact that I may not use it in a constructive way, I may not use it in a positive way, and I sit and I repent and I try to rectify it, in that action, that is a greater miracle than being able to raise the dead. And so let's really be encouraged today to be able to do that and think about the way that I'm using my tongue. And the Pauline today says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. So stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. So be vigilant, be careful about what you're saying and really think about it. And let all that you do be done in love. And so when I'm speaking, let the word that I speak be a word of love and a word of encouragement. And so today we are that blind man, we are that mute man, and through we pray that, you know, just as he had that encounter with Christ and was able to speak, that we today, when we have communion and communion touches our tongue, we have the same healing and the same ability to speak. And so within that, we have to ask ourselves, as we walk out today, what our first words would be. What are they going to be? We imagined that this blind man and this mute man, the first words he said were, thank you, Christ. I think today we have the opportunity to walk out of here with a new leaf, with, as Abuna said, with that absolution, that repentance, and the new start, that I will be a person, a man or woman, who uses my tongue for the good of people and for praising God, so that I may have Him as my strong refuge. And glory be to God forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.